Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You, a podcast where we talk about everything that goes on with Power Rangers, including some news around the 30th anniversary that went down, comic book issues and specials, and just, you know, everything that goes on in the Morphin Grid. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and with me, as always, is...
Hey, I'm making smoothies here. It's Kevin.
I always love getting to find out what thing you decide to glob on this week, and I don't know that I would have predicted that one, but yeah.
You know, that makes two of us, actually. I never know what I'm going to say until we hit record, so it's really, it's wherever my id takes me in the moment, I guess. So,
but
you and me both, sister.
With that said, before we get started, we want to take a moment to encourage our listeners to find a way that you can be a hero out in the world. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've highlighted things like the Black Lives Matter movement, which is still ongoing and still requires support, to the constant attacks upon trans and queer rights across the U.S. Find a way that you can help, whether that's, you know, donating time, money, joining in protests, watching streams that generate revenue for nonprofits, or even beginning these steps to educate yourself. Find a way that you can help. Be a hero in your own way. Let's make this world a better place.
Yes.
But with that, we'll first start off with kind of like a general news section, because a lot happened, but a lot didn't happen. It's just been a really interesting week. We just passed the 30th anniversary of Power Rangers on the 28th of August. And there were, despite a lot of fans saying there wasn't a lot, there was a lot kind of revealed. It just wasn't all done by Hasbro, because they're not the only ones who have the brand. There were multiple collabs announced. There were various, like, new merchandise shown off. You know, was there anything that stuck out to you as far as that you saw that excited you, Kevin?
I mean,
I know one.
Yeah. Yeah, there was... I'm curious to see which one you think it is. No, I thought there was a lot that got revealed. You know, there were like the shoes and I think there was some Funko. Yeah, there were some Funko Pop reveals. I think one that was interesting that I was like, okay, like I'm not gonna get it, but I thought it was interesting. Was the Super 7 Vile Violet Rita?
Yeah,
because you and I and older fans remember back when like. We would have, you know, picture books and, you know, all those other things, like the purple Rita, which was always, like, really weird to see. Like, I forget why they always made her purple, but, yeah. So that was kind of cool to see that, like, it's an easy variant to make, so I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it is also funny, because, like, everyone keeps, like, the people who get Super 7 seem to love it, and, like, oh, well, Hasbro always does these recolors, and it's like, well...
Well, guess what, Mimi? They did.
They did. They did, too. Yeah, I mean, it's like you said, it's a cool idea. I agree. Like, I also had, like, I have a very distinct memory of having, like, a picture book as well. Like, I think one of those, like, cardboard ones.
And yeah.
It had Rita in the purple outfit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's cool. I am definitely not getting it as well. I'm just like, that's not enough incentive for me to buy it.
Yeah, no.
An interesting interesting way to go with that. I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of excited about the Super X athletic wear line that they're doing that's tying into Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. The bummer is it's only in three colors. It's Black Ranger, Red Ranger, and Green Ranger. But they're really cool looking. They are an expensive brand, but I'm a little tempted. I don't know which I'd get because my preference would be for them to do a blue one, but
they'll probably do a blue one at some point. Like I was talking about. Like I would not be surprised if they do a wave two.
I understand why you would think that, but I don't know that they will because of how this like company tends to do things. They tend to do very small. Capsules. I think this is it. Like I don't think we're gonna get more, and they also don't do anything for women, so I don't foresee pink and yellow getting anything. So
yeah,
blue is likely.
So what you're saying is they hate Power Rangers.
Yes, I mean, of course.
Mm, yeah, naturally.
That's naturally the logic. But yeah, and I mean, as far as like the Funkos, I mean, they were just officially revealed by Funko. You know, I want the Ranger Slayer, and I'll probably get the other six as well because I have the others.
You know, that's good luck to you. I got out of that game a long time ago, and like I've actually held pretty steadfast. I think aside from a gift for somebody, it was for you. Aside from the one I bought for you for your birthday, I think it was either birthday or Christmas. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I've not bought a Funko Pop since I gave them up. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't buy as many, but I don't know. This is one of the few brands I would actually want. And
That's fair. Yeah, I just can't because. I sold all mine, and I know that if I could try to get back into it, oh, it's gonna be rough.
Yeah, no, understandable.
Yeah. I was like, so what did you think I was the most excited about?
I mean, it's the Cosmic Fury stuff, because for those who are not aware,
that's a good segue.
Yeah, exactly. For those who are not aware, on the 30th anniversary, Hasbro, through the official Power Rangers account, dropped a clip from, essentially, we assume, the first episode of the season, which shows off Amelia interacting with Mick Canic from Ninja Steel, and doing just a quick recap of what happened over the course of Dino Fury, for those who may have forgotten or who have not watched the show in a while. But then, yesterday, I guess Netflix has officially started advertising Cosmic Fury on the apps and has the preview clips that they show. Like, if you hover over anything on Netflix, it starts playing a clip. And they have a pretty action-packed clip. People are calling it a trailer because it's the closest thing we've had to one so far.
Yeah.
But it shows off the morph sequence for Four of the Rangers, and we get to see a lot of clips from the show that show off things that are pretty that we major. Didn't
expect.
I mean, we did expect because they had been rumored, but we had maybe not put much stock in, but we can go into it, Kevin. If you want to go into it, you can.
Well, in the words of Emma Goodall as Super Megaforce Pink when she transformed into a unseen Pink Ranger from Japan, bet you didn't see that coming. Okay, that was a reach. They're not all winners, people. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it works. It still works. It works through the situation. So
yeah.
If you're wanting to stay spoiler free, jump ahead 5 minutes. We'll try to put a timestamp in the description. But
good luck. You know,
yeah. Good luck. It's been all over Power Rangers. If you've missed this now,
you're not good on you. Power Rangers Twitter.
Yeah, but essentially the big reveal from it, aside from the morph sequence, was there was footage of the Dark Ranger from Dino Charge in this. And we see them, it's quick cuts of footage of them fighting Zed's minions, of them with the Power Rangers fighting something, interspersed with other shots of the Rangers in their new Cosmic Fury outfits. We get to see a lot of the Zords. There's a lot of ships and lasers going off that I don't totally know the context for, and then we see like a lot of huge battles going on across various different scenarios. But it is a ton. What did you think of this footage, Kevin? I guess to start, what had you most excited? What was the most shocking part for you? What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exciting. Like, we got to see the more sequence for the core four at the moment. More on that later. And we also got to see like a lot of those, like you mentioned, those aerial battles. Like, you can really tell that they have thrown a lot of budget into making this like be an absolutely big season, even though it's only 10 episodes.
Yeah.
I think some of the shots we saw were absolutely beautiful, and I think like they're taking full advantage of those New Zealand shots like one last time. Like, it, I think this for me feels like it's like a send off for New Zealand and Power Rangers. So, but yeah, no, I mean, I you remember I freeze framed as much as I could. There's lots of Q-Ranger monsters in there. Some that I think there was one that we were both hoping to see in the show get translated.
Yeah.
There's shots of the Morphin Masters joining the fray, which that's going to be insane, seeing them fight alongside the Rangers. And I mean, the Dark Ranger stuff was absolutely amazing. Like, I know for a lot of people, this is like a big moment, and we were all kind of hoping that, okay, if we can get it one last time, let's see if we get this chance. It is interesting because everyone has, with their eagle eyes, noted that while this is the Def Uger suit from Kyoryuger, the helmet is Kyoryu Navy from the 100 Years After Kyoryuger special. And I know people have already complained about it, but Simon has confirmed it's what Toei sent. So, yes, the helmet's a little bit different, but this is still the Dark Ranger.
And can be any number of reasons why the helmet could have changed. They could write in that it's a power up. There's any number of reasons. I'm less bothered by the fact that he has.
I mean, ironically, it's silver stripes. That tends to happen for formerly evil rangers using their powers for good. So.
Especially dino-themed ones.
Yeah. And what's that old saying? Oh, yeah. A Morphin Master did it.
Yeah. There's no telling. They could do a whole thing. You know, oh, he finally has control of the Dark Inner Gym. Now he no longer has the red, et cetera, et cetera. I'm less bothered by that. I'm
either excited
way,
that
the character's going to be there. Yeah. The character's on screen. We're going to get them.
Live action, finally.
We're getting the suit on screen.
Yeah, and I think the heartwarming thing was seeing Jason Bischoff's reaction to it.
Yeah.
Because he had fought for Heckle and the Dark Ranger powers before, so.
Yeah, and I mean, like, we don't know for sure that the actor playing Heckle is in, right? No one's confirmed that, right? We just know the suit is there, at least.
I think when Illuminati leaked it, they did say Ryan was back.
Yeah, I think I'm more excited to see that actor come back and get to do this. And if they allow him to get a full morph sequence, how they do that, I'm excited. Just getting that character on screen is, I think, a huge thing. But like you said, I do think a lot of the footage shown is kind of the New Zealand team being like, well, let's go for it. You know, we're getting to do original stuff. Let's go wild. Let's go crazy. This is the 30th anniversary or the 30th season. Let's go nuts. And mm-hmm. I think they are in the footage. You can see that. Let's talk about the morph, because there's mm-hmm. been arguments back and forth on this. What did you think of the morph?
I think it's absolutely gorgeous. Like, I think it's I love the dynamics of it, of them flipping, like. It seems like it's much more active than the Cosmic Fury or the Dino Fury morph was. Like, it's them flipping into the screen. Like, I think, like, I just love the moment at the end when you see them, like, flip the helmet over their head. Like, I don't know why I like that, but I think it's just very dynamic. It's very, like, it takes what we got from Dino Fury, but, like, levels it up. And I like it. I think it's really nice. And I think the funny thing was, too, that everyone didn't realize, Simon commented on this as well, because Simon is back on Twitter. They didn't use, like, the black morph suits that they've used for, like, the last decade.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, but I like the idea of them, like, the armor, like, forming on them, and, like, that's how their powers appear. So, I'm excited to see it for the other Rangers as they transform, and I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the other Rangers. I do think it's a little slow, but when we get into episodes, there is no doubt in my mind that they will speed it up. Especially,
And we'll have instant morphs.
Yeah, I'm less bothered by that, because this is definitely like the first time we see these four morphing. There's like a whole moment leading up to it. Yeah, sure, let's luxuriate in it. You know, show them do the full thing. I'm less bothered by that, so I do like it. I do like the, like, helmet flip, because it is, like, it's more active, because sometimes the morph just is happening to the person, and, you know, it's going on you. You don't really control it, and I like the idea, almost Sailor Moon-esque, that they get to kind of control what's happening to them by flipping the helmet on. It's just a nice little moment at the end.
Yeah, no, it looks great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm curious to see what else they'll do with the other characters that we know will be morphing this season. Mm-hmm. What else stood out to you? What's another thing that you want to shout out in the footage that we saw?
I mean, I think it's just the seeing which suits are being brought over from Kyoranger and seeing what monsters are going to get adapted. I mean, we don't know what they're gonna do. We don't know what's gonna happen. Like, there's no like, oh, they're using this monster, so they have to use this plot.
Yeah.
So I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I really like the shot too of Zed's castle presumably being created.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of a can you miss it moment.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it being created or are they taking something? Because my thought is that they went to the moon and took Bandora's palace is what it kind of looked like to me a little bit, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Anything can happen. Yeah, I mean, we know the moon palace is still there because it was just shown in Once and Always. So,
and I mean, hey, if you got those sets, why not use them again?
I do like the implication too that it looks like the Dino Fury base is also coming back, at least the set. So yeah. I don't know if like they're gonna hand wave it as just looking the same, or if like Solon actually did convert the base into a spaceship.
Well, because it was originally a spaceship, right? Am I wrong in that?
I don't think because there was a line whenever so in Dino Fury season 1 when they got the Cosmic Gateway key. And they went to look for something in space. Solon was like, I wish I could come. Or when they went to RAFCON, because Solon was like, I wish I could come with you. However, it's not easy converting a base into a spaceship.
Okay.
So yeah, I assume that, yeah, because it's underground, like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, either that or they, like, beam across. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Or they just hand wave that the Cosmic Fury Zords have a base feature inside of them. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
There's no telling. I'm sure they'll hand wave it in some way. But I'm I did like a lot of the footage of the Zords. Like, I mean, a lot of people have been like, well, why use the Q-Ranger Zords? And I'm like, because it makes sense if you're going to do a space season. You have these Zords that are all functionally spaceships.
Yeah, use and it's them. Also a way to save budget.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they don't have to create new Zords.
Yeah. Like, it, and this is like, yes, it's the final season as we know it's been made.
Yeah.
They're trying new stuff. Like, the show has been made the same for the last 29 years. And also, they've been leaning in this direction for a long time because, I mean, there was the graph that was made a while back that, like, if you look at, like, the Sentai to American footage ratio, like, it's been shrinking repeatedly over the years. So, like...
Yeah.
And we've seen, like, really good shots, like the ones in the finale of Dino Fury. Like, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be fun.
Yeah, and then, I do want to caution people that, like, if your character from Q-Ranger that you like shows up, don't expect... Like you said, don't expect them to last long. Because there's a character that they've shown in the footage that I'm like, I bet they get an episode, and then they're out of commission.
Yeah.
I don't foresee a lot of these characters, like, sticking around if they're not Lord Zed at that point. But, you know, we could be wrong. We'll see. I don't know. I think the biggest thing, having the footage, it makes me more excited because I'm just like, okay, I know how far they're swinging, if that makes sense.
One could say they're swinging for the stars.
Exactly. But, you know, we've got less than a month now until Cosmic Fury premieres. You know, we've only got a little bit of wait. I'm sure they'll start showing off more as we get closer. And we've got plenty to look forward to. But with that, we'll move on to kind of the comic book world because we've got two big things to discuss. But the first we'll start off with is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 111. It's written by Melissa Flores, illustrated by Simona D. Gianfelice, colored by Raul Angulo, with color assistance by Jose Enrique Fernandez, and lettered by Ed Dukeshire. In the kickoff of the monumental 12-month event, Mistress Vile has won, or so it seems, with control of the grid and Dark Spectre's infection spreading through the universe. As if an epic battle between Vile and the vessel wasn't enough, the separated and stranded Rangers receive help from the last team they'd expect, but it may not be the help they were looking for. In the tradition of Shattered Grid and perfectly timed with the 30th anniversary of Power Rangers, writer Melissa Flores and Simona D. Gianfelice kick off the event they've been building to for the last year that will forever change the Power Rangers universe. So, I want to start with your reaction to this issue, Kevin, because I feel like you really had a kind of strong one. What did you think of this issue overall?
I mean, I definitely think that, like, as the kickoff for the event, it did a really good job of, like, setting the emotional stakes for everybody. We obviously get to see everyone react to Rita enacting the spell. And we get to kind of see everything start slowly setting in motion. And I think there was just, like, there was some beautiful art in this issue. Like, it really, like, the color and the weight of the lines and everything else, like, it definitely, like, shows that, like, we're in for a treat, I think, for the upcoming year. And I think there were also just some really solid character interactions throughout the book, like, especially the Omega Rangers reacting to the Serpentera Zord, and also, like, everything else just going on around them. And I think, too, seeing, like, the interactions of other characters that have returned, like, seeing Dane react, like, getting his chance at revenge against the Omegas, like, seeing the Death Ranger back. A lot of it's just fun. It's a good time, and I think it was a really solid issue. There was especially one particular page that I fell in love with, but what did you think?
So I agree. Emotional is the word I would use to describe this issue. It is, like, steeped in a lot of the emotion. I will say I'm a little bummed that it feels like this issue and last issue could have been one. Like, it is kind of... It's very slow to start as far as this event goes. Like, the spell has happened this week. We're seeing the immediate fallout. And it kind of doesn't move us a lot further forward. But that being said, like you said, there's a lot of great character moments in this issue. I do think, like, the Rangers reacting to what Matt has done, Matt reacting to the Rangers, getting to see the Omega Rangers in, like, the most dire moments, and seeing how kind of Trini and Zach have that last moment together, so they think. And just a lot of, like, you know, the impossible choice that Mistress Vile puts in front of the Mighty Morphin Rangers, you know, at the last moment. It's just, it's very interesting. It's very tense. It's very taut. And like you said, I'm excited to see kind of what happens now that we're in the event. Like, next issue, we've got to start moving forward and doing weird and crazy things. And that I'm most excited about.
For sure.
But is there any one, like, I know you mentioned there's, like, one page that you really love that you thought was beautiful. Do you want to talk about that one page
real quick? Yeah, so as the spell continues to grow and infect the grid, we see a shot where it shows basically how this is impacting not only the immediate area, but also the greater Power Rangers universe. So we get shots of the RPM, Samurai, and Dino Charge Rangers, if I remember right, reacting to what's happening. So it was just a really, like, well done shot, and, like, I really thought the setup and blocking and coloring on it was really good. So yeah, it makes me excited too, because I'm assuming it's kind of as, like, our, obviously we have Wild Force Rangers out running around, but, like, it's our confirmation that, you know, we're going to see some very familiar faces. So I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I did like that page, like two page spread. I mentioned this to you in our, like, original conversation. I'm a little bummed it's the same teams that we've seen before.
I mean, yeah.
You know, Samurai's there, RPM's there. You know, it just, I wish we varied it up a bit. We do know we have Hyper Force and we have Wild Force in the mix right now, but, like, I'm always excited for the potential of having more varied teams, but I think we do have a chance for that with what this event seems to be doing, especially with the preview for next week or next month's issue.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm excited to see. I am curious, what did you think of the Matt and MMPR team interactions?
I mean, I think that Matt is definitely realizing what he's actually done and is kind of, like, defeated. Which, I mean, we talked about before, like, Grace being the one that breaks the spell is always, like, just cherry on top, especially with the flashback we get at the beginning of the issue. I definitely think that it's going to be a lot of friction. I do think that him and Tommy are probably going to have a good moment eventually where, like, Tommy knows where he's been in his mindset. So I think it's going to be interesting. But yeah, what did you think?
I was a little off put by the fact that Grace seems to be dead, and they just like kind of drop that in this issue, and I'm like, oh no, she might not be dead. It's kind of what I thought the whole issue, but the issue treats it as, no, she has died by Matt's hand. It's his fault. And I'm like, is it his fault? The emotions were happening so fast that I was just trying to keep up. That being said, mm-hmm. I do like, Billy is the one that loses his cool, which I'm like, that doesn't happen often. And it's a nice moment to have that happen because, you know, Billy looks at Grace as a mentor. Billy is the one that helped get Matt the powers. You know, he will feel some kind of responsibility. So him being the one to lose his cool in this moment makes sense. And I think, you know, really works. And I liked the messed up moment whenever they finally get Matt down and, you know, Tommy has Saba to him and Matt's just like, just do it. Get like in me now. Mm-hmm. And Tommy hesitates because he's a character that would understand what Matt's going through. And would understand mm-hmm. that moment and be like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Like, he's like, I'm not. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty fun.
But despite some misgivings I have about it and the fact that, like, I wanted us just to be in the stuff, I did really like the issue. Where it leaves us, I think we're going to kick off next month and go nuts. See where this goes. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, there's going to be some really good things coming up, I think.
For sure. So, with that, you want to move along to the 30th anniversary special?
Yes. Yes, I do.
So, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 30th anniversary special number one released this week with a whole bunch of people working on it. It had stories written by Ryan Parrott, Amy Jo Johnson and Matt Horton, Melissa Flores, mm-hmm. Maria Ingrande Mora, Matt Groom, and Marguerite Scott. It was illustrated by Eleonora Carlini, Francesco Mortarino, Henry Persecha, Marco Reno, Joe Mingyong, Daniel Bayless. And it was colored by Raul Angulo, Joanna Lafuente, Matt Herms, Sarah Antonellini, with assistance by Sharon Marino, and lettered mm-hmm. by Ed Dukeshire. mm-hmm. Whew! Between a spotlight on Ernie and Angel Grove, Alpha 5's struggle to find his true purpose, a mind-bending what-if story about Tommy's powers, which introduces an all-new alternate universe, an additional tale about his marriage to Kat, and a deeper look at the Ranger Academy, this anniversary issue is truly packed full of content worthy of the 30-year legacy. Along with 40 pages of brand new more phenomenal material, celebrate 30 years of Power Rangers with an additional 24 pages of classic material that fans new and old will be delighted to experience.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of this special? I'm curious.
I definitely think that it was a Mighty Morphin 30th anniversary special. It's not a read. It's what we thought it would be. Like, it definitely serves as... I think it serves as a good way of like showing us some stories that we wouldn't normally get. I think compared to the 25th anniversary special, that was more focused on the series as a whole, while this is more like this is explicitly focused on Mighty Morphin. Like, we kind of get some nods here and there to certain things, but I really appreciate, like, we got some stories of characters that we wouldn't normally get, I think. Like, we got to see some stuff for Ernie and Alpha, which I really enjoyed. It's basically a Mighty Morphin special, so.
Yeah. I liked it. It was cute. I do think it was fun. Mm-hmm. I am curious to talk about them with you. I will say, the thing I really did love about this, and it's not a story in and of itself, was the It's Morphin Time at the back, where they literally just collected every page from the comics where they say it's Morphin Time and morph on page. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I do kind of love that.
That was really cute.
I'm here for it. Also, that's some of the best work across the whole series. And it's just cool to get to see all the different artists' interpretation of mm-hmm. what does it look like to morph. Mm-hmm. So good. That was one of my favorite parts of it. It also tickles me that there's like the timeline at the back that's like, here's how to read Power Rangers in order to get ready for Darkest Hour. And it's essentially read everything. It's kind of what it says.
Which, kind of.
True, but it literally charts the entire Mighty Morphin series, you know, going through the split that happened to where we are currently, and it has like the breaks of what each of the arcs are. It is really cool, and I'm glad they at least made that graphic, because I think you can easily hand that to people. It also does a great job of breaking it down into the single issues and the collected versions, which I really liked. But as far as the stories, I am curious, Kevin, which one was your favorite? Which one did you love the most?
I mean, I think for me, it would probably be... I think the Ernie one and the Alpha one are close tied. I really appreciated the tribute to Richard and who played Ernie. Yeah. And I thought it was really interesting showing like what the impact of the Youth Center was. And we kind of got that before a few times in the comics, but like... it was just really fun seeing Ernie get like some focus and like show him kind of as like a superhero in his own way. And Ryan did a really good job, I think, with that. Like he definitely was, you could tell he was honored to write that story. And I think the Alpha story was also just really cute because of like, we got to see Alpha 6 and King Lexian. And I mean, I even also really liked it because we got to see like Zordon and Alpha on Eltar during Countdown to Destruction before space. So chasing the space. And like seeing Alpha stay with Zordon to the very end. So
yeah.
And the implications of that.
For sure. Yeah. Well, and then I thought it was funny because, you know, having listened to Ranger Danger, I know Matt and Michael's feelings on Alpha 6. So it was a really funny moment to have Alpha 5 and Alpha 6 talking to one another.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did really enjoy both of those. I thought those were really sweet. And I know both of those writers have had, like, ideas for those characters for a while. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that they got this kind of platform to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, I think my favorite of them is the Ranger Academy story with Billy.
Yeah.
Because it was really sweet. I really liked it. I liked the art style of the artist there. And I'm excited now for Ranger Academy. It also... gives us insight into what Ranger Academy is going to be a little bit.
I mean,
because they talk about the fact that it exists outside of time and space. So in theory, in that series, if we have a Ranger character appear, they can appear from any time point.
Yeah.
So we can get like the Ranger in their series, you know, we can get them from whenever. And I'm really excited to see what that does. But I liked this focus on Billy, who at that point in his life is like, you know, he's just gotten out of grad school. He's just realizing what kind of impact he wants to do. And then he gets to meet someone who was in the same place he was, and they kind of get to bond together. And I really liked it.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was just a really cute setup.
Yeah. And it's also the implication that we see Billy, like, he's the first Mighty Morphin Ranger in the comics that we see, like, past their Ranger tenure.
Yes.
Like, in the future. So I think that's interesting because, like, it's still open-ended enough that we don't know what's happened between now and then, but like, yeah,
for sure. And I'll give a shout out to the wedding vows story with Kat and Tommy. I'm gonna say a thing on this podcast that I don't say often.
Oh, it's good that I'm like sitting Kat. Down for this.
it made me like Kat.
Wow. Well, you heard it here, folks. Go buy those lottery tickets. Hell is frozen over. Wow, I never would have thought I would hear you say those words.
Yeah, I know. Because I think what Melissa did a good job of is making it not about Tommy, even though the story itself is about Tommy.
Yeah.
Because I like the idea that, like, when they break up, Kat's like, I kind of assumed we were going to get here. And then she's like, I'm going to go my own way. And then when they meet back up, you know, she's like, oh, you know, we're at different places. You know, maybe we could. I will say I can understand why Hendry didn't do hairstyle changes. But I think had he done them, it would have helped with the timeline. Because, like, I think reading the comic, it's a bit hard to tell when certain things happen.
Yeah.
Because in theory, Tommy should have shorter hair at moments.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in theory, but in practice.
Yeah. I can also understand, like, why you keep the longer hair.
maybe he just decided as part of the wedding, like, to be a throwback, he put on a wig.
Maybe. But it all, I mean, also, like, that's classic Tommy, and, like, it may have been hard for other people to understand when you, like, when he chops his hair off, that's just a different timeline, yada, yada, yada. Also, the one character that mentioned time travel, is that Aisha, or is that
I figured it was Aisha.
I mean,
because it would make sense for Kat to have Aisha and Tanya as her, like, bridesmaids.
My thing is, like, Aisha's usually shorter than the other two, and she was drawn at the same height, and that was what was throwing me. I was like, I don't.
Tommy has his long hair, so.
Yeah, I know. Choices were made as far as art, but yeah, and I was like, that's a line that's gonna be loaded. That one line people are going to, like, all kinds of argue about for years from now, I assure you.
Not my circus, but also, yeah. Melissa knows what she's doing, so.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think it was really, like, wonderful, too, because, like, Melissa did say in some interviews that, like, she actually sat down with Catherine Sutherland and was like, where do you see Kat's journey? Like, where does she go to get here? And Catherine actually did give Melissa some insight on, like, this is what I think she would have done. This is what I think would have happened. And, like, I think that was really beautiful, too, because it gives Catherine a chance to, like, really say, you know, this is my character. This is where I would want to see her be at.
And we've discussed this before, especially, like, with, like, her getting to shine finally in, like, Once and Always and be, like, a ranger again.
Okay, hold up. By the way, she shined a lot more before Once and Always, but okay.
Sure.
I'm just saying. Anyway,
I'm gonna choose to be nice in this moment and say sure. But in terms of, like, post her time on the show,
okay, this is there,
like,
we go.
Because when she came back, Dimensions in Danger,
well, yeah,
she didn't really get to do much. Not a lot of them did. No. But and I think what I've always kind of had the issue with is she's kind of, like, had to play second fiddle to Tommy. And I like that this is, like, establishing her as a character who had motivations and who had, like, you know, that doesn't always see eye to eye with Tommy. Like, and I like that for her. And I'm happy for that as, like, growth for that character. And also, her in a wedding dress pulling out a blade blaster is just cool. Like,
it's camp.
It's camp, but it's cool. Like, it is cool.
I mean, yeah,
she showed up. She you know, I just came out blasted. Like, that's what she did. It is a cool moment.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting too, the bounty hunters that were after Tommy, like, they were black dragons with, like, smiley faces.
Yeah.
I was like, I clocked that. I was like, huh.
And I mean, like, I am happy, like, again, like I said, I like that this gave Kat agency, even in the sense, like, even though it's focused on Tommy, like, I really like the agency it gives Kat, and I think it does a great job of building that character in a way that she doesn't often get, because she so often has to play the girl role in this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think it also, like, is a really good, like, setup and, like, segue into Soul of the Dragon as well. And where Tommy is at that point in his life. Like, I think this is, like, really good because it's, like, a milestone moment for Tommy. So
exactly.
And so I guess that does leave the last story we didn't talk about yet, which I'm curious to hear your thoughts on. Which is Amy Jo Johnson's story.
So what this little preview we get into it is establishing this idea that this is an alternate timeline.
Yes.
This is not the show as we know it. These are not the characters as we know it. Boy, does Amy Jo Johnson have a different take on some of these characters than I think I do.
I mean,
And we don't totally know what the jump is. We know that an event occurs and then all of a sudden we're in the present and Kimberly is going under a new name.
Yes.
We don't know the state of the world. We don't know what's happening.
All we know is, at least from what we see, Rita and Zed get married during the, well, not the same time, but, like, let's see, what was it again? Rita makes Zed fall in love with her in his first appearance instead of later on. They all go to Switzerland together. They don't leave each other behind. Zordon and Alpha presumably get killed. And then they maybe go to the moon and finish the fight. And then we get the time skip.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, I will be curious once the full story comes out. Mm-hmm. I still have my misgivings about this because I just I don't need old woman Kimberly as a comic. And this feels like what the vibe is a little bit, you know, like she's trying to do her version of Logan.
Who knows? I mean, I'm sure that Amy has a story she wants to tell. And, you know, because I know, like, that was the thing with, like, Once and Always when she didn't get involved, like, people thought she would. Like, you know, she was like, this is my involvement with the anniversary. So I think it's cool to see her involved in some way or capacity. What will happen, we don't know. But, like, it was kind of cool, like, opening and seeing, like, written by Amy Jo Johnson. And, like, I thought that was kind of cool, I'll admit. So.
Yeah, it's nice to have her come back into it. I just will... We'll see what it does. Because also, we do see them... The interesting thing about this is the timeline does show them graduating. Mm-hmm. So, in theory, they fought Lord Zed and Rita for a long time.
Yeah, and then that also brings in implications of what happened to the Machine Empire, what happened with Diva Talks, like... You know, what happened
with the Stone Canyon trio?
Yeah, so... Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
And also they don't have like the Thunder Swords either, which is interesting in this. So yeah, I will be curious. I'm willing to be open-minded. I will say this didn't move the needle a lot for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, being honest. It's meant to be a preview more so than an actual like story. So it's like a tease.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just like, it is weird how they're drawing older Kimberly, because I'm like, I look at Amy Jo Johnson, and while she does look older, she does not look that old.
Yeah.
As a person. Like,
And Amy approved it, I'm assuming. They probably showed Amy the art, and they were like, yeah.
Yeah. I'll be curious. Again, we'll see what this is. This didn't move it a lot for me. I'll be curious once we get the actual issues, what it shows.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest thing I'm more curious about is like, what are her takes on the characters and what does she think of them?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Because I'll be blunt, Amy Jo Johnson to me has for the longest time not seemed interested in these characters or being involved with them. So I'm like, okay, well, what was it that brought you back, and what is the take that you have on them? And you know, good or bad, I'm curious to see what that is. It is interesting that the way they put this in there was like a mind-bending what-if story about Tommy's powers, which introduces an all-new alternate universe. So, do we think Tommy's powers are the center of this? Because I don't get that vibe from this story.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
We'll have to wait and see. I mean, we are, in theory, getting that later this year, right? Is the plan?
Yeah.
From what we understood? Is like that's gonna show up in stores around like October, November.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll see. I know I'm being like kind of not shitty about it, but I'm just like hesitant about it because I'm just like I don't know what to make of this. I don't really want another alternate universe take.
Yeah.
And also, I fear for a comic book version of Power Slash Ranger, which I hate. As a thing that exists.
I hope it doesn't get to that either, but
we'll see. That's all we can do. We can only wait and see. But overall, I know like you said, it's very Mighty Morphin focused. I did really like this. I do think it's nice that these stories exist, and I think these are things that can be used to do further stories going forward. I think my biggest takeaway is I am really excited about Ranger Academy and what they're potentially going to do with that kind of setup with mm-hmm. the potential of those characters. I kind of want to see what that whole world does.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot they can do with it.
Yep, exactly. Any final thoughts for you on the anniversary special?
It did what it set out to do. It was a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 30th anniversary special. I mean, that's not a bad thing either. Like, it's, let's be honest here. I don't want it to seem like, Mighty Morphin. But no, I mean, this is a special occasion. Like, it's 30 years of a franchise. Like, that's a big deal. Like, I was hesitant to really talk about it on social media the other day, but then I was like, you know what? It's 30 years of my favorite franchise, so let's celebrate that.
Yeah, and I mean, so long as you're being, like, happy about it, like, I think it's fine to do. Like, I just, yeah.
Yeah, I choose to be happy about it. My big thing is,
exactly, because that's what we should be. And, like, you know, does that always mean we always say high praise for it? No, but, like, no. You should still love the thing that you love and, like, talk about why you love it and not always be mired in why you hate. But that's a whole other thing to discuss. But just know if you're listening to us, you will always hear us try to be positive where we can.
Yeah.
But with that said, that'll kind of wrap up our show for this week. If you want to reach out to us, you can hit us up on Twitter for a little bit longer.
Yeah,
we may be leaving there shortly due to some of the policies they plan to enact this next month in September.
Yep.
So after that, look out for us on like Blue Sky, because we're going to try to set up an account there.
We do have an account there
and stuff for that below. Well, we do have an account there.
Yep, it's set up.
The PowerPod there.
May the PowerPod dot Blue Sky, whatever that domain name is. But yeah, look up
BSKY dot social. Yeah.
Yeah. it's there. It's not fully live, but it is there. So if you want to follow us on Blue Sky, we are on Blue Sky now.
Yep. And if you want to reach us by email, you can email us at maythepowerpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to send us comments, suggestions, topic ideas, or let us know if you're interested in coming on as a guest host.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find me, you can find me on most social media at thespispunk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
If you want to find me, you must solve my riddles 3. No, you can find me on like social media at BridgeMT3, BridgeMT3000 on some platforms. I'm around. Follow at your own risk. Bridge,
yeah. If you search at BridgeMT, you'll likely find them.
Yeah. I mean, if you want some ship posting and ship posting accessories, I'm your guy.
Yep. And sometimes that's what you need. But with that, as always, may the power protect you.